Reading from Luke 23. And it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he'd said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what had taken place, they beat their breasts, went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Well, I wonder this morning how many people were involved with the crucifixion of Jesus. Perhaps we can start to add them up. There was the disciple, Judas, who betrayed him. There were the other disciples who fled and did not protect him or stick with him. Then there's Herod. I don't know if we're managing to catch up at the moment. Wasn't there the so-called King Herod, who had been enemies with Pilate, but as a result of Jesus coming into their midst, they become great friends, an unholy alliance if ever there was one. Then there's Pilate himself, who seems unable to decide what to do. Then there's the religious leaders, and then there's we're losing count, aren't we? There seem to be an awful lot of people involved in the event that becomes the crucifixion. This morning, though, I'd like to focus our thoughts on two people. We're not given their names, but we're told that they were criminals, and that this Friday was the Friday that had been selected for their execution. We're not told a huge amount about them. All we know is that they were criminals, and in verse 32 of Luke it says they were led out with him, Jesus, to be executed. And so this is the scene we are confronted with on this Good Friday. Jesus is in the center on a cross. To his right and to his left are two criminals. There is a crowd watching. The rulers are sneering. Below, the soldiers are gambling. And at a distance, some of Jesus' followers are watching. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, Jesus is suffering. Quite literally, Jesus is heading towards hell, and surely on this cross it must feel like it. Through the agony, Jesus whispers some of his last words. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." From the cross, from the agony of a situation that was physically, spiritually, emotionally, completely overwhelming, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." This week, as you can see round about us, we're hosting the Forgiveness Project. It'll be here tonight, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then again twice tomorrow, 10 o'clock until 12 o'clock, and then 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I hope you'll be able to take an opportunity to look at some of the incredible stories of forgiveness. Some of those involved are Christians, as it happens. Many are not. Many of the situations described are not situations we'd want young people to look at. They're horrific situations, and yet from the depths of an awful, horrific situation, people have been able to find forgiveness. It's hugely challenging. Could we forgive someone if they have wronged us or done such a brutal thing in our lives or to our families? It's a hugely intense question, and we hope we never have to live it out in practice. And yet in all sorts of ways, forgiveness is a big issue in our society. And this Good Friday 2019, our society feels very divided. all sorts of different things, from politics to the way we behave to the way our young people treat each other with knife crime and things. There's a whole need for forgiveness. Forgiveness is hugely difficult. Forgiveness is hugely costly. To forgive someone is hugely painful. On the cross, Jesus offers us a costly forgiveness. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian message. Think about the options that were available to Jesus as he was on the cross. He could have said nothing and yet still been 100% faithful to God's plan in his life. He could have, as we know, because Jesus was all-powerful, called on angels to either rescue him or to punish or get some sort of revenge on those who were mocking him. Instead, Luke records Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Forgiveness and mercy. They don't know what they're doing. And then Jesus puts his words into practice. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him and said, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." It's interesting, isn't it? It's intended as an insult to Jesus. And yet, in his words, the criminal actually recognizes who Jesus is, the Christ, who was able to save. His words recognize who Jesus is, though he fails to acknowledge his own words. This can be a reaction to Jesus today, and one we've maybe encountered ourselves. People insult Jesus. People want to pretend that he has no power and no relevance to their lives. We heard from Gillian on Wednesday night. She launched our forgiveness project about the situation Christians face in Iraq. Challenging it certainly was, but it felt more than that. It felt as though I was a bit guilty too of actually ignoring Christians in Iraq, of assuming that because the ISIS threat is now passed, at least militarily, that they were okay, not realizing that their ongoing struggle is very much a day-to-day reality. I think it's one thing to be abandoned by secular organizations, we almost expect that, but to be abandoned by the church, as she said, or forgotten, well, that was very uncomfortable, at least for myself. The reaction of one of the criminals to insult Jesus, to say that he still has no relevance. Verse 40, though, on the other side. "But the other criminal rebuked him, 'Don't you fear God?' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" How did Jesus answer? As an evangelical Christian, I actually find Jesus' answer a little bit uncomfortable. He didn't say, "Well, do you accept me as your Lord and Savior?" He didn't say, "Have you got a pen and we'll get you to sign the 12 statements of faith that I really feel you should have?" Jesus said none of that. Instead, he says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Of all the people who were involved in the crucifixion for Good Friday, Pilate, Herod, the religious leaders, even Jesus' own followers who stood at a distance, only one person recognizes the true power of the cross. Only one person recognizes where the cross truly leads, and that's the criminal beside Jesus. I find that really remarkable. Everyone else had, in some form, rejected Jesus. Even Jesus' closest friends had fled, which surely in this scene is as good as rejecting. It looks as though even God himself had abandoned his only son. But instead of revenge, or a righteous anger even, Jesus offers only forgiveness. A forgiveness that is recognized by that one criminal on a cross. Well, this morning on Good Friday, we come together because we believe in the ongoing power of Jesus' cross. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. What are our sins, you might say? Well, they're everything we've done that God would not want us to do. Well, they're everything we've not done that actually God would want us to do. We sometimes think that sin is simply about avoiding doing bad things. Actually, it's also about doing the right thing. Sin separates us from God, which is truly bad news. When Jesus went to the cross, he did so in order to break the power of sin, to get rid of that division, and to bring us into the kingdom of God. That's what makes this Easter Friday a good Friday. Because on the cross, we see the good news of forgiveness. Well, in a moment, we're going to have communion together. And you're invited to take part, whether you're regularly part of this church or whether you're just visiting us this morning. Because communion reminds us on this Good Friday of the price that was paid for our sins. Jesus' body broken and his blood shed. The price of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, and the reality of forgiveness done for us in Jesus. And our reaction? To forgive others as Christ forgave us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, on this Good Friday, we are reminded of the cross. We tend to picture it just as one cross with you on it, but actually there were two others there that we know of. One who could not see what you were doing, even though his words betrayed, actually, their truth about you. Lord Jesus, may we not be people who deny you, who insult you, or who turn against you. Instead, may we be like that other criminal, to recognize the power of the cross. The only way we can be saved is through your death. The only hope we have is in your resurrection. Lord Jesus, thank you that your offer of forgiveness is available at the moment to everyone. For those who have accepted it, remind us of the power of your forgiveness. And for those of us who have yet to experience it, give us the faith to accept your offer. And come now, meet us as we break bread and drink wine. In the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.